Lord, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that it's important to you that we open the Word and realize the power in it, the value in it for us personally, Lord, in the lives we're living day by day, and us corporately as a church body to realize how you love us and how you're promoting us to begin to share more and more about what Jesus Christ has done in us and the impact of his life in us, so that when we testify, Lord, that you would come by your power and confirm our testimony, Lord, and cause the name Jesus Christ to be lifted up. And so, Lord, as we celebrate today the opportunity to come into your house and be in your presence, Lord, we invite you to come with a deeper impact in our hearts and souls, Lord, that we would understand more fully the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been having some fun last week, and we're going to continue on this week with Jesus by the pool. Last week was the first Sunday of summer after the summer solstice, so I thought it would be fun. I thought I'd even get a couple laughs. It didn't work last Sunday. I'm gonna go for it again. We'll see what happens. I highly value humor, and I love to laugh, and it's something I like to do. So I realize that it's part of the way I was created, and so I don't apologize as much as I used to, and I don't feel bad about being weird because I didn't create myself. I just was forgiven and prompted and encouraged to be myself, and until there's more revelation, I'm just going to be the me I am right now. And so I was fascinated with Jesus by the pool, a couple stories of Jesus by the pool, and we shared last week, talked about the first was Jesus came upon this paralytic in John 5, and so as we're all trying to be like Jesus, these stories are kind of fun, and John, he comes upon, John 5 here, he comes upon the pool of Bethesda, and I guess it's in D.C. somewhere. It's anyway, so he comes upon this pool, and there's a lot of porches, and there's a lot of people in these porches around the pool, and he's come up for the feast to Jerusalem, and so that's the occasion that he's come. So we know it's one of the feasts of the Jews, and the Lord instructed him to take a break every so often, have a feast, get your family together. We're just going to celebrate and get together as family, and so I want you to have this feast. And they would do it to remember different events, momentous occasions in the life of the body of the Israelites, so that these were marked different occasions where the Lord came and did great things. And so there was always something to celebrate, and the celebration of gathering together. And so Jesus comes up to celebrate with family, and he comes upon this paralytic. He's been lame, paralyzed, 38 years. So this guy is sitting in one of the porches. Jesus comes up to him and says, what would you like? How does he put it? In 6. Do you want to be made well? What an interesting question. Do you want to be made well? We talked about this last week that he says, well, he goes on to explain, you know, I don't have anybody to get me in the pool. I try and, so you imagine this lame guy, he's struggling, scooting himself. He's doing what he can do to get to the pool. And before I get there, he says, someone else steps in. So it's a first come, first serve basis. The first one into the pool gets a healing. And the rest, you know, are kind of waiting and then disappointed. And waiting, hopeful, and then disappointed. And so this guy's 38 years. So we don't know exactly how many of these years he's been by the pool. But he's struggles and doesn't understand why he can't get there, except to, you know, explain, hey, I just don't have a man to help me, is the way he puts it, to get into the pool. And as we talked last week, we don't understand. There's events in our lives that we don't understand why we're in this shape. And there's others around us that are in different circumstances in their lives, and it looks better. It looks better when we're not able to get to the pool, and this person is able to jump in and gets their healing, and here I am. And so we talked about that story and about the impact on the disciples and the impact on this guy that was healed. Jesus tells him after he says, I can't get there, Jesus says, well, take up your bed and walk. And he grabs his mattress, what he's sleeping on, that's placed there, and he gets up and walks. And he walks right to the temple to tell everybody that he's been healed. And afterwards, it says in 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And we talked last week about this whole idea of sin no more. I don't know if you've tried it, but it doesn't work for me. You know, it's not often that pastors talk like that. But here's the problem with sin no more. It's not possible. The only way you can sin no more is with the power of Jesus Christ. And not just a momentary brush with Jesus Christ. It takes an investment. It takes a life change. And we're going to talk more this week about the Pharisees and the impact of these two stories by the pool. The next story is in 9, where they come upon this blind guy. They're passing by, and the disciples say, Jesus, who sinned? Was it this guy or his parents that he was born blind? And, you know, the disciples were probably around in the last story in 5, where Jesus said, when he saw him in the temple, okay, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. So sin was a part of the equation, right, in this fellow's life. And so when we get to 9 and we hear about this story, it's understandable. You know, I don't want to pick on the disciples too much. You know, they really served me well. I know Jesus because they, you know, kept unfolding and talking about and spreading the good news and modeling for me what I should be about. So, you know, even though this, you know, they really were off track in their mind. Have you guys ever been off track in your mind? I got to tell you, events of this week in my life personally have been chaotic at best and tragic. And I'm dealing with the grief of losing a nephew, and the whole family is dealing with this issue, the loss, this great loss, and trying to get our heads around what in the world do you do with the tragedy of losing a 2-year-old son? And how do you now get peace? Where does this make sense? How do I get to an understanding? Because of the tragedy that I'm experiencing flies in the face of my confidence in who Jesus is. And so I have to know that the answer to the heartache I'm feeling is personal. And the Lord has invited us through this summer to come into a closer relationship to Him. And I know that I know that the answer is in my experience personally with Jesus Christ. That for me to come and try to give you an answer for the tragedies in your life or the grief that you've suffered and endured would not answer the longing in your heart to know something, because Jesus wants to come and be the source of that. Are you guys with me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so these two stories captivated my thinking. Not only is it a wonderful thing to think about Jesus spending time with me at the pool, but it's exciting to know that He's invited us into this personal relationship, and He understands that sometimes we don't understand things. We're humans, and we're trying to get to the place where we can relate to the Lord, but there's this overcoming that has to happen, because I've got a human mind, and I lived a life before I met Jesus, and I was confused about things before I met Him that He's been patient with me about. And He brought clarity. He loved me where I was. Before I ever knew Him, I grew up going to church. It's funny, my little sister's here. I call her my little sister because it's fun. And we grew up, I had to go to church every Sunday. And if I didn't, I couldn't play. So, and if I faked a stomach ache or something to get out of it, then I couldn't play outside the rest of the day. So they had me wrapped up on Sunday. They figured me out pretty quick. So it was obvious from an early age, this kid liked to have fun. So the reality was I heard stories. Even though I never felt this invitation to become for a personal thing, I never really understood that Jesus wanted to have a personal thing. I thought it was more of a you know, save the world. I came to save the world. You guys relate to this? I came to save the world. So, you know, I was part of the world, and I was okay with a huge God loving the world and forgiving the world. But I really never related to this huge God loving Ray and forgiving Ray. And so I held on. I knew some scripture that said something roughly about pretty much, if you believe I'm the Son of God, you'll be saved. And I kind of held on to that. It was easy, okay? I did Ray, and I believe Jesus is Jesus. He's the Son of God. So, you know, we're all good. But you know what? That's not enough. That's not enough. That is basically knowing about Jesus. That's knowing about him. I know about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He was crucified. He rose again. I'm good with all that. Okay, it's not enough. It's not enough. He wants more than that, and we need more than that. That would never, never, never satisfy me. It was okay for a while, but I kept feeling like, oh, there must be more. There must be more. But I was confused in my mind about the point of it all. And the disciples here in these stories, we see that there's a lot of confusion in the way people think about the impact of Jesus Christ. And we talked last week about the story of in 9 where Jesus comes upon this blind guy and tells the disciples it's not about his sin or his parents' sin. It's about the works of Christ being fulfilled. And we know that we live in a world that's fallen. Adam and Eve messed it up for us. And when we fell a long, long way. And to the point that the only thing that would rescue us from the pit we've fallen in is the sacrifice of the only Son of God. And so we know that it's a big, big thing. And Jesus wants to meet us by the pool this summer, because he wants to have the kind of impact in our lives that is bigger than we've experienced to this day. And he wants to clear up some of the mysteries surrounding the way we trust him. And in the preparation for these two messages, I've been pondering how good the Lord is in tragedy. And even trying to come to grips with tragedy, people say things that aren't true about him. And they're trying to comfort one another, and they say things like, you know, the Lord took him. Well, my God is not the author of tragedy. He's the champion in the midst of it. And sometimes we try to comfort one another with theology that's not true. And we can't blame one another for that. You know what? He loves us right where we are, and it doesn't offend him. It probably breaks his heart a little bit, but it doesn't make him mad at us, okay? Because we're trying to get a grip on what's going on, and how do we understand the pain that we're experiencing and the loss? Because we have hopes, and we have these dreams, these expectations for the future, like, what's the result of this going to be? What's the result of this life going to be, and the excitement? You know, we see this excitement of Eden and the result of her life. You know, we've watched her grow up here. We've seen her mature as a young lady and make these choices that have propelled her to this where she is now. And she's a delightful young lady, and she talks about her administrative heart. You know, she loves the administrative side of serving at the church, but she's so much more than that, that she didn't share with you the impact of her life in the Spirit and the way she ministers in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've been privileged to watch that mature. And so we have this expectation. When I think about her going off to college now and getting more grounded in the Word of God and experiencing a more diversified thinking of how to assimilate everything that's written in this wonderful book, it thrills me. I think about what's the result going to be? What in 4 years when she's graduated with a degree, and I'm sure she's going to have her license, and my experience of this college is that people fall in love out there. I have a son-in-law that, you know, she didn't meet him out there, but their friendship grew and grew and grew. And so and shortly after their return, their curiosity grew. So with one another. So anyway, I don't know what might come of this, but I know there's exciting things, and I'm excited about her future, just like we would with anyone. You know, as a life comes into the world and we're excited and thinking about the future, and then suddenly it's gone. And, you know we have an enemy. We know that he seeks to kill and steal and destroy, and we understand it. But we think, but not in my experience, not in my little world. No, this doesn't make sense. How can this be? And so there's the struggle continues with understanding it, and that's what made these two stories about Jesus. In the nine, he's not at the pool, but he sends the guy to the pool to wash his clay out of his eyes. And in my thinking of it, I just see him not having anything in his sockets, because the clay is what the Lord used to create us in Genesis. And so I love this creative story about the power of God that and Jesus explains in the story in 5. I promised you we'd talk more about the Pharisees. He goes on in John 5 to explain who he is and how he and Father God relate to one another and what the Lord has entrusted him with. And he says, Father God judges no one. In 22, Connor, I'll try to help you. 5:22, judges no one, has committed all judgment to the Son. And so we find out a little more about Jesus, that he is given all the responsibility for judgment, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. For he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so Jesus is trying to help the Pharisees get their mind around everything that's going on. They're so locked on to having a God that's huge and scary and pleasing him by obeying these Ten Commandments. We're going to obey these Ten Commandments, and we're going to be pleasing to God by obeying these Ten Commandments. It's a very religious attempt to do something that's impossible. And so they've convinced themselves in their mind that they're pulling it off. I did. I was so great with having that little scripture. I was good with God. That made me good with God. It was a religious thinking. I was nowhere close to good with God. I was living my own way. I didn't invite him into my life at all. I didn't care what he thought about how I was living. I just knew of him. I knew him to be the Son of God. And they're so convinced that they're pulling off the Ten Commandments that Jesus offends them. What do you mean you healed this guy on the Sabbath? What? What? He's got eyes. He's walking. And you're worried about it happening on the Sabbath? Holy smokes, so the guy is testifying this in, I'm switching back and forth. Let's go back to 9. The guy in 9 that got healed in his eyes. I'm sorry, this is a little bit random. You can understand the emotion I feel about bringing this message today about not understanding the fullness of God's love for you and not understanding how your life, your personal life relates and the events in your life relate to the King of Glory. And so I'm trying to help us all understand that the path to understanding what's going on in your life is through Jesus Christ. And as you get connected more and more with Jesus Christ through his word and time with him, relaxing by the pool, just like Jesus came to the pool and sent this guy to the pool, he's got no eyes. And he's trying to tell the Pharisees, I can see. It was me. It was me. No, it wasn't you. It looks like him. No, it wasn't him. Yes, it's me. It's a comedy. You've got to read this for yourself. Read John 9. It's so funny. Oh, my gosh. And so they say, well, get his parents. And they get his parents, and his parents are like, oh, what has he done now? Jeez, he's getting us in trouble. We're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. So they said, well, that's our son, and he was born blind, but we don't know how he got healed. We don't know what happened. He's of age. Ask him. Can you see that fear? they are so afraid that they're going to be kicked out. And last week, my brother-in-law was here, and he got a phone call in the middle, right about this point in the message. And his parents aren't well. And so he had to go find out if he was needed immediately or what was going on. And because I know he loves me and he knows I love him, I really played that up. And he left, and so we said, see you, and we're not going to talk to him anymore. He just got kicked out. He was rude. He answered a phone in the service, and now, there he is. He's outside the temple. And you know, there's no relationship out there. He's the only one out there. And it would be like that in their city, you know, where no one related to him anymore. And so they had a real legitimate reason to not want to testify about what happened to their son. You know, that's him and he's of age. And so the Pharisees are so caught up in their world of religion that they can't see the promise has arrived that they've hoped for, that they long for. This establishment of a kingdom has come, and the king has arrived and is walking among them doing miracles. And instead of marveling at the power of Jesus Christ and his effect in their lives, they're ejecting him, and they're rejecting, even when the guy is filled with this courage to say, it's this simple, people. Nobody has ever heard of somebody healing someone that's born blind. Okay, it's never been done before. It's happened to me, and we know that God doesn't hear people that are sinners, only those that worship him and honor him. And these are the people God hears from. He prayed, and now I've got eyes. So I'm guessing this is a godly guy. And instead of letting that real simple logic penetrate their hearts, they said, okay, you're a sinner. You were born a sinner. Get out. And so what his parents had feared actually happened to him. And he is now ostracized from the fellowship of his people group. And so they had completely refused to receive the understanding. And that's our choice, because events in life come to challenge our belief in God. They come and challenge. And the Lord said that they would come. And in this life, you will have trials. There's a promise. Thank you, Jesus. In this life, I will have trials. Woo! He says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. There's a power through Jesus Christ to overcome the challenge you're facing today. The challenge you're facing in your life is not for nothing. It's not to crush you. The challenge in your life is based on this world we're living in. There's an enemy we have that wants to kill and steal and destroy, and even thought that he was having this great victory when Jesus was crucified. And the model of the crucifixion is for us, because we feel like our life is over, and this assault is killing our hopes and our dreams for the future. And just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with the power to overcome in such a way that it brings light to many. And when Jesus rose out of the grave, it gave us all the confidence that we weren't going to suffer death. Death has been defeated. When I close my eyes for the last time, that very moment, I'm in heaven. And that's the promise of the Word of God. That's the promise I have from the King of Glory. And so I know, I have a confidence that my little nephew is whole and he's in heaven. And he's up there with family. He's not the only one I'm looking forward to seeing when I get up there. I've got a father-in-law, his grandpappy, that just loved the Lord and loved my kids. And he had a huge life change right at the end of his life. And it was just such a pleasure to know who he really was. Isn't it exciting when Jesus Christ just peels the shell off and you get to see who someone really is? And that's what the Lord's after with this intimacy through the summer. And that's the beauty of this time at the pool, that the Lord wants to, through this time of the summer, of spending time with him, take the time to draw close to Jesus. And he's going to show you things. It's this grand adventure where you're going to get revelation. I was so excited when when the Lord showed me that there was more than just this knowing about Him, that He wanted me to know Him. And the first time, I was scared to death. I was in this church, and I could feel it. Man, the Lord wanted me to do something, and I was afraid to do it. He wanted me to come up and start this new life in the front of the church. He wanted me to come and confess this evangelist. I don't know how my parents talked me into going to this thing, but I went to this revival. Oh my gosh. And this guy invited us down, and I'm holding on to the pew, and I'm like, no. Oh no. And the Lord's going, okay, I'm gonna give you a bye here, but I don't have to invite you again. And I didn't go down. It was the church I grew up in, and I was still offended with all those people. Isn't it funny? They were struggling with the same thing I was struggling with, knowing about them, but not knowing them. And I was offended with them. So I wouldn't go down there. And later he sent this guy to work with me and challenged my theology and cleared up some confusion for me, and I got saved. And I've never been the same. I've never been the same. I'm telling you that the power of Jesus entering into your life is amazing. And it challenges you to be transformed by it. You can't let Jesus Christ come into your life and then ignore Him. That's not salvation. He didn't come for you to be who you are. He came to set you free to be who you really are. And that happens when you grow more and more in relationship to Him, understanding who He is and allowing Him to change you from the inside out. And that's what the Word does. The Word brings this conviction and this understanding, this truth down in your knower until you know something that you can't necessarily explain, but you're changed by it. And now you're free to be who you're destined to be, who you're created to be. And that's what the invitation to intimacy is about, is as you grow close to the Lord, something changes in you. And He answers the desires of your heart. And those longings that you have deep within you are fulfilled in relationship to Jesus Christ. And so in the American church, we don't like to talk about the confusion. We don't like to talk about the not understanding things. But I'm going to tell you that there's nobody in this room that has gone through their life understanding everything that they've experienced. And the reality is that this is the truth. It's true that you don't understand things. And you need Jesus Christ to come and comfort you with His Holy Spirit so that you can wait on Him to bring revelation about the situation you're in. And that's why He's so longing for you to come and spend time with Him this summer in the Word and by the pool and throughout your summer, just relaxing and thinking about Him. You know, and a little time in this, a little time if you're visiting, if you get this, there's the words in here and some music. And as you think about it, it's a personal thing. It's so personal that He's going to talk to you in the way He talks to you. And I didn't even know Him, and He was talking to me. Looking back, I see so clearly how He was talking to me and drawing me in. And I didn't understand why I was so afraid. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I could live the Christian life because I'd tried on my own to be good, and I couldn't do it. But I want to tell you that you can't. And the reason I was afraid was true, that I couldn't do it. I needed something powerful to come and impact me in such a way that I could be who He wanted me to be. And so I want you to come with me to the pool this summer and enjoy it. Enjoy it. The Lord is really comfortable with who you are right now. And He's not angry about you being confused about things. And He's not upset with you. He's not upset at all. And I know there's people here that are thinking, you don't even know me. You don't know how messed up I am because I painted it all and it looks good. I'm telling you that I know what it is to cover up all the darkness inside me. And I know it's empty. And you don't have to live like that because the Lord's not disappointed with you and He wants to fill the emptiness. And so in this invitation to the pool, it's an invitation to let the emptiness be full and let the questions be answered. by the power of Jesus Christ through you and Him personally. Not someone telling you the answer, but you experiencing it personally with Him. And that's what life is. So let's stand together. You know, sometimes if we just tell somebody, it's so powerful to talk about what's really going on. You know what? It's okay to be honest. It's okay to be who you are. And sometimes when we agree together, these are people that are real experienced in handling the Word of God. And there's something so wonderful. It's like a beautiful dance, this Word. And the more you spend with it, the more you're enthralled with it. I can remember a time early in my walk with the Lord that this was real difficult and hard. And now it's so delightful and wonderful and such a powerful treasure to me. I wouldn't trade it. And so if you want to come and be honest with some people to get some help and encouragement, it's available. But the Lord wants to meet us individually and personally right now with this invitation. Lord, we just open our hearts to you today. And Lord, we don't want to pretend like we're going to step into a new thing without your power. We need you to come and meet us at the pool. Meet us when we're relaxing. Meet us when we're distracted. Meet us, Lord. Come and invade our normal with you so that we're not normal anymore. Lord, we don't want to be normal. We want to be ambassadors of the abnormal. Jesus was not normal. The Pharisees didn't understand him. The disciples didn't understand him. The people he was healing didn't understand him. Nobody understood Jesus. And Lord, we don't want to be normal. We want to be disciples. We want to be ambassadors. And so, Lord, we invite you to come fill us and transform us. Come and make us real so that we can be the real thing for you. In Jesus' name, amen.